Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity to worship you together and to open your word and see what you might have to say to us. Open our hearts this afternoon as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We had a little bit of a different kind of format last week, and I really enjoy that. As small as we are, I wouldn't mind doing that every week, but this format makes that kind of impractical, so we go back to the old ways. But maybe we can think about what that looks like in the future. But I was reflecting a little bit as I tried to figure out how to kind of move into the topic of the day. I was thinking about law. Law is good. Admittedly, not all laws are good. Sometimes we make some really bad laws, and it's because humans made them. Our laws are never perfect. But law provides the framework by which society is able to function. Nobody wants to live in a society that doesn't have any laws. I think about our law, our Constitution, what we call the law of the land for the United States. And it has its quirks, but for the most part, it's very good law. It recognizes the depravity of man and attempts to put checks on it. It limits the power that it's supposed to, anyway, limit the power that government has over our lives, and it promotes freedom. It has served as the foundation for the most prosperous and most generous nation in history. And yet, it has its limits. It is not able, it is not anywhere close to able to govern a citizenry that doesn't follow a much higher law. You might be familiar with this quote from John Adams, who said, who wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with passions unbridled by morality and religion." And boy, don't we see that playing out. But there is a higher law. That is the law of God. And it is the highest standard of justice. Everyone is judged by it, regardless to where we live. And yet, no one can keep it. You might manage not to break any one of our country's laws, although that would be really hard to do anymore because we got so many of them. But nobody can avoid breaking one of God's laws. It's baked into us. It's the legacy that Adam left us. And yet, we can be justified. How is it that we're justified? Through faith in Jesus. We're continuing our study of the book of Romans, and I'm just going to cover a few verses, first four verses of chapter 10 today. The context is, of course, Paul's letter, entire letter, to the believers there in Rome, a mix of Jew and Gentile. And he begins, really, much of the beginning of the book is written to show us how we all need Jesus. That the law that was provided to us through the Jewish nation can't save us. It only exposes our sin. But Jesus did what the law couldn't do. And our calling is to live according to the Holy Spirit. Then in chapter 9 that we just got through, he addresses the position of the Jewish people, position of the nation of Israel, and how God used them throughout history, the honor that they have of revealing God to the rest of us. Talks about the sovereignty of God, who does as he pleases, and whether we like it or not really doesn't have a whole lot to do with it. We don't have any right to question his decisions. But just as the prophet said would happen, Jesus came and they rejected him, while the Gentiles have embraced him. Now, obviously, these are broad terms, broad stroke statements, and not everybody. In fact, out of the entire world, we know. Jesus himself said, the gate's narrow that leads to life, and the gate's wide that lead to destruction. And many people follow it, go that way. But his promise is for all. And righteousness comes through faith in him. And now we continue on. I'll continue on reading in chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And he says, brothers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For not knowing about the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Amen. Now here again, like we saw at the beginning of chapter 9, Paul lets us know that he desires fervently and prays for the salvation of his people. They are. You see that back at the beginning of chapter 9, verse 3 in particular, is what I've got noted here. But he said, even give up his own salvation if it meant that he could save them. Now, Paul is speaking of them from experience. He himself is of Jewish heritage. He himself was a Pharisee. And he, you can see that. I can list you references if you need them, but if you look through, you can see where he's mentioned, called himself a Pharisee several times. But he was under the impression, even as he was persecuting the church, and you can find that in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought that's what he needed to do. He thought that that was his, he was serving God by doing that. He says they have, coming back to our verse here, he says they have a zeal for God. Just as Paul did before Jesus intercepted him on the road, they believed in God. And they were, in fact, intent on stamping out anything that they saw as defaming him or misrepresenting him in any way. Now, yes, many of them were also self-serving and hypocritical in what they did. Jesus called them out on it. But there were also some who genuinely thought that they were serving God. Presumably, Paul is not referring to the hypocrites as he talks about this here. He says, but not according to knowledge. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't understand them. Their misinterpretation of what it meant, what the messianic prophecies meant, caused them to miss the Messiah when he actually showed up. they didn't really know God. They knew a lot about Him. They knew the Scriptures, but they missed the point of the Scriptures. Consider what Jesus said as He's speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew 22, Matthew 23, verse 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matter, provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." He says, they missed the righteousness of God. And what is the righteousness of God? We talked a little bit about righteousness last week, and we've defined it in the past. It can be used in a couple different ways. For the purposes of theological discussions, we often say it's right standing with God, being in a right relationship with God, being able to stand before Him in a justified state. But we can actually read this verse in other translations, and it will help us a little bit understand what Paul is getting at when he says this. The Common English Bible puts it this way: they didn't submit to God's righteousness because they didn't understand His righteousness, and they try to establish their own righteousness. Or the Complete Jewish Bible, I really like the way this reads. It says, since they are unaware of God's way of making people righteous, and instead to set up their own, they have not submitted themselves to God's way of making people righteous. Of course, that way being Jesus. There's another version that puts it very simply, called the Easy to Read Version. It says, they did not know the way that God makes people right with Him. And they tried to make themselves right in their own way. So they did not accept God's way of making people right. The righteousness of God is expressed in Jesus. But they kept trying to do it through the law. But Jesus completed the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. It says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Because the law was never going to be able, could never make somebody righteous. Nobody could do that. Nobody could do that until Jesus came along. And Jesus, of course, was as close as anybody could get. And yet, God honored the faith of those who made the attempt. It was there, and it provided a way for the faithful to express their glory, to their obedience to God, express their faith toward God. But it was Jesus who actually fulfilled all the requirements of the law, including the perfect sacrifice. And so now, Righteousness is available to everyone who believes. Righteousness comes by faith in Jesus. He met all the law's requirements, including that perfect sacrifice. It was His righteousness that we wear. Now, as Gentile Christians, we have not been taught that we've got to follow all these laws, or maybe we have. Obviously, nobody is following, or I say nobody, there are some who do, but by and large, we don't attempt to follow the dietary laws or some of the other more practical things that they did, day-to-day things that they did. But we do have a tendency sometimes to try to follow our own set of rules that we think somehow is gonna do it for us. But we all know, we've all been taught that Jesus died for our sins, and we know that our salvation is not earned. And we know that we cannot be righteous by our own efforts. But does that mean that we shouldn't still pursue righteousness? No. Because we desire to be right with God, we still pursue those things that God gave us that help us in that pursuit to become in a place that we're in fellowship, we're working together with Holy Spirit in the things that we do. Does any of that save us? No. Only the blood of Jesus saves us. But we can fall into some of the same traps that the Jewish people did here. We can begin to live as if doing all of these things, doing all the right things, is the key to our salvation. If we can just get it all right, God will have to be pleased with us. He is pleased when you are seeking to serve Him. But He's not pleased if you're doing it to try to earn His favor, because you already have it. A genuine eagerness to please God can harden over time into this rigid system of things that we have to do. And it might be that all the parts are good, but they're there to serve a greater purpose, our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we add parts that aren't even there. And we then apply those things to other people. And we not only do we make all these rules for ourselves, we feel like everybody else has to do it the same way we do. But Jesus says, be merciful, and you will receive mercy. Doesn't mean we don't call out sin. It does mean that we offer people grace and mercy. Because if we don't maintain the relationship, you know what? We'll tire of the religion. I don't know if I should get into this. I guess I've got a little bit of time today. But you hear people say this all the time, and I guess it's starting to bother me a little bit. Because you hear I read something just the other day where somebody said, as they were trying to lead somebody to the Lord, I'm not religious. And the person who was trying to lead to the Lord said, well, good, I'm not religious either. And I understand what people are saying with that. They're trying to say kind of what we've been saying with this passage, that it's not about all the things I do. But at the same time, the religion has to do with discipline. It has to do with doing the things that we do in service to something that's greater than ourselves that we believe in. And I hope that we're all very religious. not because we feel like we have to do these things in order to be accepted by God, but because we love Him. And because we choose to be disciplined in our walk and do the things that He would want for us to do. But ultimately, we trust in Jesus. It is by faith in Him that we become right with God. That's where our righteousness comes from. And our faith will express itself in works. So to anyone out there listening, put your faith in Jesus today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've done for us. Thank you that you've given us your word so that we can just even begin to understand how much you love us and what it is that you desire for us. Lord, thank you that you've given us that which we cannot earn. You have covered us in your righteousness, knowing that ours will never measure up. That is the righteousness of God that we accept as your children. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.